people, and welcome back to Not Your Average Music Therapist, which is all of us. So I guess we're all average. I am so excited to be back. And I'm hoping that this run of the podcast season, if you will, even though I haven't been doing seasons strictly, but I hope this one lasts a little bit longer. It's just hard with the work-life balance. So we're going to try our best, see how things go. I'm going to try out some new things to see if we can have this run more efficiently and whatnot. But I'll keep you posted about new things happening or different ways that you can support me to keep this thing going, because I know it's so valuable for so many of us, myself included. Having these conversations gives me a way to reflect on my life and my work, and it's like my own little personal supervision time where I get to think about all of the things that I'm doing and see where I want to make changes or where I think I can grow or where I want to celebrate myself and be confident in my skills and where I am in life. And I think that rings true for you too. I think you all feel this same kindred spirit of we're in this together. We feel seen and heard here, and we're experiencing a lot of the same things. So it's really nice to talk about it and not feel like you're the only one going through what you're going through. With all of that, I also want to give all of us permission to do things messy and make up our own timeline and our own expectations for things. So I think about this podcast, and so I'll get to this later on, this idea of comparisonitis, but it's so easy to compare ourselves to others, especially when we are on social media and we are fed media, pictures, videos, just simply information about everyone else all around us all at the same time. It's like, it's just too much. It's too much information. No one should be consuming that much stuff. And it's extra hard when it comes to other people in the same line of work as you or in the same life situation as you, because then it's like, even if you do your best not to compare yourself, it's kind of unavoidable because it's just right in front of you. It's like, oh, this person is doing this right now. I'm only doing this. Or this person is this age and this far at this thing, and I'm way back here. It's too easy for us to like put ourselves side by side with this other thing or this other person when we're just shown that thing right in our face. Like, think about the olden times where people got their information from, first of all, I guess, from letters that were written to each other and sent through the mail, sealed with a wax seal, you know, all that jazz. And so you did not know what that person was doing, like right at the exact moment that they were doing it. Similarly, you can think about newspapers. So if someone got married or if someone died or if someone was looking for a job or posting a job or if there's something really interesting going on in the world or in your area, you would find that information out in the newspaper. So you would get it, you know, once a week or let's just say once a week for this conversation. You'd get it on a Sunday, you'd read the paper, you'd collect all the information about all the people and all the things, and then it would be a full entire week until you got that next paper. And so then, you know, like maybe you would find things out by word of mouth, but it's just like the sheer volume of information about one another that we are getting right now is just absurd. And this is kind of a good reality check for me too, to take it easy when it comes to social media, when it comes to knowing about all of my acquaintances' lives. Because like, if we are good friends, then we are in communication, whether that's in DM or, whether we're texting or whether we're FaceTiming or calling or whatever. So I know what's going on in your life if we're close in that way. I don't need to stay up to date through Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or Snapchat or whatever. But it's like, I don't know why we have this obsession with knowing what all of our acquaintances or even just total strangers that we've connected with online, what we're all doing every single minute of every day. And yes, I am totally, totally exaggerating. But I'm doing so to get the point across because it's too much. It's too much. It's not fair to our minds, to our hearts, to our souls, to be consuming this much information about all of these various people, like all the time, at least like the amount that we're doing. So I say all of this because it's so easy for us to compare with other people. And I notice myself, it's like, I can't help but think about where I am compared to another person. So I think about this podcast, and there have been a lot of newer podcasts that have had really cool milestones, like number of episodes or number of listeners or whatever. And I'm so happy for all those podcasts and those people who are running them. It's like a really cool thing. But I can't help but like have this little part within me that feels kind of bummed that I'm not there, that this podcast isn't there. But I have to just come back to this like inner knowing of this is just the process of this podcast. It's going to be what it's going to be. It's going to have episodes whenever that is. And unless there's someone over my head paying me and saying we need a podcast in this timeline, it's probably not going to happen like that. And I kind of love the spontaneity and the organic nature of what happens with this podcast, because it's like we're following the tide. It's like we're following this, like, I don't know, like bustling leaves in the wind that are blowing from one theme to the next, from one town to the next. And we're just following it and seeing where it goes. And some days it's not windy, so it's just lying there dormant. And other days it's really windy and we get podcast episodes every single week or multiple times a week. But yeah, I hope you feel that way too. And I think if you're anything like me, or if you are still here, and you've listened to the podcast before and you have returned because you see a new episode, I think you probably enjoy that spontaneous feeling too. So yes, I want to give us all the freedom and permission to do things within our own timelines. Let's follow the muse and let it speak to us, and have that expression be not on a timeline, but just artistically happening, you know? I don't know how else to say it. But thanks for being here. Always thank you for being here. Can't thank you guys enough. So yes, we'll see how long this run lasts. We'll see how windy this is over here. Okay, so the other thing, besides just saying hello and welcome back, that I wanted to do on today's episode is go over some questions and answers I have. So you may have heard these or read these already if you follow me on Instagram. And if you don't, you are more than welcome to follow me. The handle is at Kimberly Jane Best. It's like my full name. But either way, you are welcome to stick around for the rest of this episode to hear the answers to these questions. And maybe you will take something away from hearing them right now over this episode versus having seen them or read them or heard them on Instagram. And, you know, talking about our society and culture and this day and age that we live, I think this is another thing. I feel like it's like everything is about consumption and efficiency and time and power and money. And because that is the way our society runs, I feel like we are very transactional and we don't take time with things. We don't let things settle. We don't ponder. We don't just sit and be with the things that we consume. You know, it's like we consume them and then that's it. But it's like, what I want to start doing more, and, you know, I guess this is an act of, like, slow living. Maybe this is something we can practice. Okay, homework for all of us. Let's spend some time in this next week or the next couple of days, like, really being with things. So whatever it is, like, whatever the thing is that you are consuming or taking in or whatever. Let's notice like the color. Let's recognize the shape. Let's sit with our feelings around the thing. Let's feel the texture. Something that I do maybe far too often, it's a little bit of an embarrassing thing, but I will, like, if I get a new thing or, like pick up something from a store or something, I have a tendency to smell it. And that sounds really weird when I'm telling all of you right now, like, this is not something I would just say to people. Like, Greg is the only one, Greg, my husband, he's the only one that knows this about me, but now the whole world does. Okay, great. But, you know, like let's notice the scent of the thing that we are consuming and taking in. Or maybe let's notice the scent around us as we consume this item, this thing, this experience. And then I think I already said feeling, but let's go a step further and, like, what does this thing motivate us toward? Does it bring up any action within us that we want to take? So that's our homework. Let's, like, truly be with things. And I think one of the easiest things to practice this style of living, this slow living, an easy thing to do this with is food. And I am very guilty of just scarfing down my food or just eating my food while on the road driving to my next client. And I don't think it's the most healthy habit. I think I do it out of necessity because I feel so rushed. I think it's a very healthy thing to be able to slow down and take our time with our food. It's like we're honoring ourselves, we're honoring the food that's in front of us, whether it was prepared by ourselves or by other people, whether it was harvested by us or by someone else or by a local farm, or maybe we don't even know where the food came from, but we have gratitude that we have food right in front of us. So let's do this experiment, this homework together. We can start with food and then take it on to the next thing. Maybe it's an item of clothing. Maybe it's something that you just bought that you're really excited for. Maybe it's something that you found thrifting. Let's notice all of those things about it. The color, the texture, the feel, the scent, the shape, the weight. That's something too. The feeling that we get, what we experience in our environment with it. And if it causes any action or any motion like within us, something that I can think of that I'm kind of like going to when I say this is like with food, I can just feel myself right now. If I have a good bite of something, I am compelled to tell someone. Or if I find like the next best snack, like I have to tell my friends about it or all of Instagram. Like more people need to know because if it's something that I enjoy, I know that I'm not the only person. And I don't know, I have this thing within me that like I want to share it with others. Okay, so we've got our homework, and that all got brought up because I was talking about these questions, and I mentioned to you that they were up on Instagram. And so some or many of you may have already seen the answers, heard the answers, and this is like old news. But I would love to challenge us to sit with the old news, sit with things that we've heard before. Maybe it's even like this podcast. Maybe you go to a past episode and let's see what new things come to us. Because if we are really present and we are in the moment and really feeling and experiencing that thing, even if it's for the second time, I can pretty much guarantee that we will feel and experience something different, or at least we will feel and experience like a new element of it. Like there's a new layer that we didn't realize we were going to have, but because we came back a second time, now we see another door opened. And at some point, I think I may have talked about it before, but at some point I'm going to have to do an episode on how I do this type of thing in the music therapy context. I got this specific music therapy activity from another music therapist who I really admire. And I've used it in workshops and groups and different things like that. And it's gone over really well. And it's been a very successful activity. So I'll have to tell you about it another time. Anyway, let's get down to these questions, and I hope you find some inspiration in them. So, first question, and these questions were sent anonymously, so I truly, truly have no idea who sent what question, and I don't think any of the question askers had written in saying, oh, that's my question. Maybe you did. I can't remember. So either way, it is still anonymous. Okay. First question. What should music therapy students do over the summer? What would your answer be? Okay. And around the time that this podcast is going out, we are entering the season of summer. Oh, how exciting. And yes, I know students, like you're already in your summer break because your school semester likely ended somewhere around the end of April and beginning of May. But anyway, we're getting to summer for most of us now. So what should music therapy students do over the summer? In big, bold text, relax and have fun. You have the rest of your career to improve your skills, so don't worry about it right now. It's like I don't want you to feel this pressure but we constantly feel that kind of pressure from our professors, from our maybe our parents, maybe our peers, maybe ourselves. Maybe we're like, oh, we have to get better. We have to improve. We have to, you know, reach for the stars. But let's actually see what this summer is meant for, or the summer is meant for, and take it for what it is and roll with that. So here are some other suggestions. So keep coming to music for your love of music. Keep hanging with people for your love of other humans. So music and people, those are like the two big parts of music therapy, right? And these two items will be the best teachers to gain a sense of self and identity as you later step into the workforce. And then this will also help you create boundaries for the future. Like when to work and when to have fun. It's really hard to figure that out. But taking your summers and actually just relaxing and have fun, that will support you in your self-care and prioritizing yourself in the future. It's kind of like what I would tell myself if I was a student right now. Okay, next question. I'm wanting to buy a shirt and I'm wondering when it may arrive if I were to order today. So this is a great question. This goes for people who have ordered things in May as well. Excuse me. So if you don't know, my husband and I started a little product line and we have just started with t-shirts, and they're honestly the best shirts. So it's just like a plain t-shirt. We have a few different colors, and across the chest, it says music can help. It's just great, isn't it? It's like, for those of you, probably most of you who are music therapists, it's like, honestly, just, it's the best t-shirt to wear. It's like, you can wear it as, like a uniform. You can wear it as an advocacy tool. If you want, you can just wear it to bed if that feels more comfortable. But yeah, so we have t-shirts out there. I also have some stickers and washi tape too available if that's something you're interested in. But we are, we've been working behind the scenes to kind of streamline the process and make it easier for you to buy and receive your t-shirt in a timely manner, while also lightening our workload, because like there's so much that we want to do in our lifetimes. And because of that, we are going to change up some of the colors. And we are doing a t-shirt run right now. So if you are listening to this episode right now, you are welcome to buy a t-shirt. And probably anytime after this, once we get the new shirts up, the new colors. So yeah, this is probably the last time that you'll be able to buy the gray and sage and pink colors. So if you want one of those shirts, get them now because we might not have them again. And yes, we'll see what new products are coming, coming up. Okay. Next question. I have a chronic illness. Any tips to get through hard days and still have hope? So when this was up on Instagram, Greg and I did a little video together to answer this question. I'll just summarize what we shared. And just to give you some context, here are some things that Greg and I live with. So Greg has type 1 diabetes, depression, and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So that's the chronic stuff that he's living with. And for me, I've got a lot of stomach stuff. I assume it's IBS, irritable irritable bowel syndrome, and then also I live with anxiety. So whether or not you define all of those things as chronic or chronic illnesses or not, that's what we've got. And so any tips to get through hard days and still have hope? Oh, yes. I just feel that. So my first response is cry it out. It's really hard. It is really, really, really hard living with a chronic illness. And most of the time, people either do not know what you're living with, they don't know how bad it is, or they can't understand what it is you are going through. So I want you to feel some sense of validation that what you're going through is really hard. Chronic illnesses suck. They're so, it's like I wish no one had any sort of illness, let alone something that was chronic. So yeah, first of all, realize how bad it is and how hard it is to live with something like that. Second of all, and this is something that Greg added, any way that you can find some joy. So it could be a very small moment, a very small thing, but whatever you can do to find some joy in life. So the ways that we do that are, like Greg was talking about all the fun shows that he watches. So like Parks and Recreation, The Office, like just silly comedy shows just to make him laugh. And that helps in the hard times, just that little spark of joy. And then for me, this is why I'm so obsessed with dried mango. Because with all of my stomach complications, dried mango is something that I can eat for the most part without having a stomach ache. It's one of the very few desserts that I enjoy and like can eat without, you know, having pain. So those are a couple little things that we do to have some joy and get through hard days. This is a similar question, or maybe a similar answer. So what do you do when you feel stressed? And so my answer is anything that makes you feel like you. So for me, sometimes it's writing, other times it's coloring, sometimes it's taking a walk, and other times it's doing the things on my to-do list. And it's almost always helpful for me to talk it out with another person. So if I'm stressed, if I'm upset, if I don't see any hope in sight, just being able to express that is so, so, so helpful for me. Okay, so the next question is, do you and Greg ever have issues? You seem like the most amazing couple. Aw, so thank you for that question and that really sweet take on us. So I'll just remind all of us that what you see online, on Instagram, on social media, even right here on the podcast, is a very small portion of my life, of anyone's life. And so, yeah, the answer is yes, we have issues. When this was up on Instagram, Greg and I did a little video. So I'm sorry that, maybe I could replay that in here, but that would be a little complicated. So I guess I'll answer in short, but I would love to know from you, all of you, if you're interested, you can send me a message, on Instagram, or you can write to me at hello@kimbest.com. But I would love to know, like, this question, is this something that you're interested in hearing more of the answer to? Because I've had Greg on the podcast, I think once before, I think it was only one time. But I would totally have him on the podcast another time to talk about this stuff, our issues and our marriage and whatnot. But so to answer this question very, very briefly, I would say, yes, we have issues. However, we come into our relationship with like this really beautiful spirit of loving each other and being each other's like biggest cheerleaders. We want the best for ourselves and one another, and we continually and gently work towards that in small ways every day. So we are both in therapy. We've both taken medication or are currently on medication at different times. And so most of the issues that come up with us are, for the most part, like stuff within ourselves, within our own selves that we have to go through. And we're able to talk openly and honestly with each other. So if something does come up, if there's something that's bugging one of us or something that we're upset about or whatnot, we feel the trust and freedom to be able to share that with the other person. So while we might not be the most amazing couple, or while we still have issues, we also have really open and honest communication, like honest to the nth degree. We talk about everything. So yeah, that's a little bit about us, but feel free to send me a message if this is something you're interested in me doing a longer episode on. Okay, next question. Are you happy with your career right now? I really, really am. I was actually just writing in my journal before I started recording this episode that something feels really right now. Like things feel really good. And so, yeah, I've pieced together a business that works for me, and it seems to be working for my clients and my customers. And that being said, I still want to adjust things and do other things and let go of some things. I don't think I will ever feel like I have arrived at the most ideal work situation. It will always be in flux, sometimes more satisfying than others. And honestly, I think that's the joy in life as an entrepreneur. You always have a new idea or want to try another thing. So yes, I am happy, but I know there's more. Okay, next question. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Oof, this is a hard question for me to answer. I so rarely like plan that far ahead or think that far into the future. So let's answer this a little differently. Let's think of my future in terms of how I want to feel and maybe a few goals that I want to achieve. I want to be living a life that is slower paced and full of more beauty and friendship. I want to have fewer days with clients and more days in nature. And I really hope by the time we roll around to the next 10-year mark, I will have written at least one book. I feel like I'm a secret writer and haven't fully stepped into it yet, so wish me luck. Okay, a couple more questions left. The next one, what annoys you most about the music therapy profession? Okay, as not your average music therapist, what do you think my answer is going to be? Okay, so my answer is other music therapists, I'm sorry to say. Okay, hear me out. I love music therapists. I have some really good friends who are music therapists, and I love them dearly. I also feel like I can get along with most music therapists, which is awesome. Like, we have so many things in common, we kind of just get each other. However, I cannot stand the feeling of wondering if another music therapist is safe. And I put that word in quotes, like safe, like, am I comfortable with you? So I look forward to the day when I will feel comfortable being myself in a room full of music therapists. My messy, unprofessional, big mouth that says controversial things in our field self, without another music therapist judging me, teaching me, or thinking that I am a terrible music therapist. I especially feel this way with many older music therapists who feel the need to belittle younger music therapists or hold up rigid and antiquated rules and talk over others. It just drives me nuts. So yes, that is, in a nutshell, what annoys me most about this profession. But at the same time, I love most music therapists. Okay, and we are on to our last question for this episode. And I've really enjoyed doing this. Even though, like, these questions were up on Instagram, I think there's something special about having them up here on the podcast too. So let me know what you think. All right, so this one is quite the question, and I just felt like it needed some more attention, which is why it is so lengthy of an answer. And if you go onto Instagram, I answered this question in 4 parts. And so this is the complete answer all at once, but it's the same, it's all the same answer that I gave up on Instagram. I'm essentially reading it. I'm reading it out. So the question is, how are some ways you've successfully dealt with imposter syndrome? I frequently feel as if I'm not good enough or talented enough to excel in a music therapy career, let alone finishing college. No matter how hard I try or how much I practice, my absolute best turns out as a 70%. And there's a sad face after that. Ugh. I just feel you. So, first off, I am so, so sorry you're feeling this way. It's so tough to get through the feeling that you're not good enough, especially in an educational system that's always judging and grading you. I think that music therapy is such a vast profession, and we music therapists all ought to specialize in areas of work. As undergrad students, we're taught a lot of different modalities and philosophies and theories of music therapy. It can be hard to pick those apart and find what's uniquely you. It's a time of learning as much as you possibly can in such a tiny, very short time. So, to the feeling of your best being 70%, what if that's okay and acceptable? My bet is there are people out there, future clients of yours, who would feel so incredibly cared for with your 70%. And to them, it may even feel like 100% or more, honestly. I also wonder, does the education style fit with your learning style? Like, maybe that's something that's getting in the way. Music therapy education and training is so demanding and fast-paced, and I wonder if you would benefit from a slower pace. I know that might not be possible, but I wanted to throw the idea out there regardless. Now for me, what I have found helpful is honing in on what I'm really good at and letting go of all the other stuff. Yes, I am trained to do a lot of different kinds of work as a music therapist, but I don't think it's possible for one single person to do it all or be good at it all. We just shouldn't be expected to. And once I let go of the unrealistic expectation that I can or should be able to do everything, I felt free to focus on my strengths and serve my clients from a place of confidence. And honestly, this really seems to be making a difference. I have been able to take my training as a music therapist and focus on a few things where I feel like I really feel like I have expertise. There's still a part of me that feels like I'm letting down my professors, my certification, and the profession as a whole because I don't use piano. But that quickly fades away when my clients have amazing responses in music therapy to what I do offer them musically. It's really, really amazing. And I just don't think about this stuff anymore. Okay, further into imposter syndrome. I think there comes a point where we may feel like a fraud or imposter when we work because the work feels easy. I remember getting to the place where leading a music therapy session or group felt quite effortless, and I think that's a good thing. If you feel that way, it means that you've mastered a skill. All it takes is to put that into perspective, to see that you are not a fraud or imposter. I remember working with one of my first ever practicum students, and there was a really eye-opening experience for me. So I had led a music therapy group with older adults, and at the time, it really just felt like I was singing for an hour. But all of us music therapists know that we do a lot more than that. We facilitate moments and experiences. We provide opportunities for movement, communication, and socialization. We are doing so much. After that first, after the first session that the student led, they said this. They said, "Wow, you make this look way easier than it is." And it's so true. From the outside, it looks like we're just having fun and making music. But underneath the surface, we have developed skills to be able to do what we do. Think about how far you've come. Remember when you were afraid to pick up that instrument or try a new song? You are not a fraud. You may just need a perspective shift, a refresher, or a student around to show you that what you're doing does take a lot of skill. Second, I have done a lot of work to take out the places and spaces where I compare myself with others. This way, I am not looking at others to measure up against. I am the one solely responsible for my feeling of security and integrity in my work. The way I've done this is to unfollow or mute specific accounts on social media, typically Instagram, where I feel that comparison creep in. So this is what I was talking about earlier. I still fully support these music therapists, and I love what they're doing in the world. I just know I can't see and hear about all the amazing stuff they're doing in the world every single day. It's not good for my brain or my business. Lastly, I think a lot of these feelings in work and life come up when we are not fully cared for. You may need some more friends around you to encourage you in your strengths. You may need a therapist to regularly talk with to dig into these places of lack and insecurity. In addition to those couple of things, I needed to take several months off of music therapy at times to reinvigorate my love and my passion for it. I've also taken odd jobs over the years to supplement music therapy because I knew I couldn't be doing full-time work, full-time music therapy at that given time. I've also had moments where I reminded myself that at the end of the day, it's a job. It's not my life. It is part of my life, sure, a really beautiful and fulfilling part, but it's not the entirety. And maybe for you, life feels a little off balance right now. So let me just repeat that one statement for my brain and maybe for yours. Music therapy is not my life. Okay, so hopefully that answered your question. Let me know if it didn't. And for everyone else listening, I hope you've enjoyed hearing my answers to all of those questions and having this podcast back up and, running. Of course, like right when I have to finish my sentence, I burp. What is this? But I'm probably going to keep that in because I don't have time to edit this. So hope you enjoy this messy podcast. Yes, it is. It is good to be back. I am glad to know that you are all listening and hopefully gaining some wisdom and inspiration from this podcast. Feel free to send me a message, like I said, on Instagram. You're welcome to send me an email at hello@kimbess.com. Let's see what else. If you feel so inclined, I would love a review. I know it's very weird to be asking for that now because I've been gone for several months from this podcast. So maybe let's wait on that for a few more weeks so that you don't put in your review like she never comes out with this podcast because, like, yes, I know. Anyway, hope you are doing well, and I am sending all of my love to you, and we'll talk again soon.